You know, the Lord, He is a merciful God, very merciful. And He goes with humanity so many years. For many hundreds and thousands of years, He's dealt very gently, patiently with mankind. And He's always thoughtful. God is always thoughtful. But there is, with God, a reckoning time and a rewarding time according to what a man does or whatever he has given his life to. I know that people in the world, you know, they don't like to believe that. They'd rather not believe that. They'd rather just take another avenue of thought, but it doesn't make any difference. It's still a fact that there comes a reckoning day. Like you said concerning the Egyptians, He said, Abraham, when their cup is full, and He waited till they had filled their cup to the full, and then He began to deal with them. It took Him over 400 years of patience. That's a real patient God, isn't it? Over 400 years, He was patient with them. And then after that, he called them into remembrance that though He was very long-suffering, the Bible tells us, very gentle and very patient, that the time had come to call them into judgment. We like to believe that God just would never do that. We'd like to believe that there's no such thing as hell, and that, you know, a place of such punishment just don't exist. But it's true that it does. It's like a song I heard the other day. This lady was singing a song about how her mother never taught them about Satan. She said, now our mother never taught us about Satan. She said, whether we were good or bad, we were all the children, dear children of God. But that's a lie. We're not all the dear children of God. As a matter of fact, the contrary, Jesus told some people one time, said, you're of your father, the devil. So the charismatic move of the world would like to believe that we're all the dear children of God. And like the times you see the Pope, he'll go out and he'll bless the car races and he'll bless the football teams. What that is, that's Satan blessing his people. It's not God. You know, it's a religious thing, and it looks real good, Jim, and it looks just like God's in the car racing business and everything, you know. But it's not. It is the devil himself going out in the form of those religious people blessing that which he loves. See, Satan savors the things that be of this world. He loves those things. He loves the car races, and he loves the frolics of the world. And he puts his blessings on them because that is his world, and that is his empire, and that belongs to him. But God abhors it. And you can tell, see, if you watch real close, you can tell which way the people are going, whether they're going after Satan or whether they're going after God, and which one they're following. You can't mix darkness with light. So then, if we watch closely, the Bible said the child is known by his doings. The Lord tells us not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We should not love the trees. We should not love the brooks. We should not love the birds. We should not love food. We should not love clothing. We should not love anything. Everything is under the curse. We should not love anything. See, God is looking for somebody that will love him with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, with all of their strength, and not love anything that has to do with the world. And then in loving God, God gives you all things, and all things are added unto you. And the world through Christ is taken out from under the curse. And all things is taken out from under the curse. And your family is taken out from under the curse. And you're taken out from under the curse. And then everything belongs to you. And you love God, and God gives you everything. But we're not to love things and love people. We're to love God. And then God will in return add everything unto us. And then when we see the love of God in humanity, that love will mate one with another. And, you know, people get the wrong idea of God. And I'm going to read a little scripture in a minute. But they get the wrong idea of God. They get the idea, you know, that God loves everybody. As I said a while ago, He loves everybody. They say, the Lord loves everybody. He loves everybody. I've heard them tell me that, you know, they said, Brother Pike, God loves everybody. No, God doesn't love everybody. The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. And like David, the Lord, speaking from David's heart, said, I hate every evil way. And I will pursue the wicked, the Bible said, till the wicked perish from off of the face of the earth. Can you imagine anybody loving anybody that would pursue them until he destroyed them? See, could I love my little Joseph and Danny if I made up my mind that I was going to pursue them till I destroyed them from off of the face of the earth? See, there couldn't be any love there. So then God doesn't love everybody. We get all mixed up when we say that. Some people are the children of Satan, and God doesn't love them. As a matter of fact, He hates them with a perfect hatred, David said. And He said, I will pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. He said, their offerings are abomination in my sight. He said, when they pray, He said, it is abomination in my sight. There's nothing that they can do that God will receive of them. So then the world is so mixed up. The Bible spoke of the latter times when all these things would start taking place, and it would neither be a time of darkness nor of light, but it'd be a twilight time when everything would be going through the change, and it'd be so mixed up, be so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. So then there is a world for you and there's a world for me. And that's what we need to get in, children of God. We need to get into our world. Now I want to read a little and just take my time and talk with you just a little bit. And maybe I can, get you to listen to the word of the Lord. A lot of times I talk to you before I read. Because if I talk to you before I read, you'll listen to me talking, which is the right way to really preach to you. But if I read the scripture, and if I don't start off like a racehorse, somebody say, he ain't anointed this morning. So that kills everything I'm trying to do, you know. So I just kind of preach to you and get your minds in a stream before I read, and you'll accept it that way. They used to have a program called People Are Funny. All right, Jeremiah 15th chapter. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Now that fits in, don't it? Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay and the dog to tear, and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I'm weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gate of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. Their widows are increased to me above the sands of the seas. I have brought upon them against the mother of the young men a spoiler at noonday. I have caused him to fall upon it suddenly, and terrors upon the city. She hath had borne seven languish. She hath given up the ghost. Her son is gone down while it was yet day. She hath been ashamed and confounded. And the residue of them will I deliver to the sword before their enemies, saith the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? Thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Will thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the land of the terrible. Now, this really fits together with what I just said. The Lord says here in his word, he's speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. And he said, Jeremiah, he said, even though Moses himself and Samuel, the great prophet that was so beloved of God, he said, even though these two men, which I respect above all the men of the earth to that extent, Moses faithful in all of his house, Samuel, the Bible said God never let anything he ever said fall to the ground. But though these two men that I respect so much, that has captured my admiration to the point that I would do anything for them, yet, if they stood before me and they pleaded for this people, he said, I would refuse to hear their prayer. I would refuse to hear them. It doesn't matter how much they plead. He said, I wouldn't listen to them. He said, for I have appointed four things, and said, they are to go forth to death and to the sword and captivity. And all these things are to come upon them. He said, because they have forsaken me. They've turned away from me, God said, and because of that, I won't have anything to do with them. You see, this is why that I always plead with you so much. And I tell you over and over, I say, folks, let's do something for God. Let's keep our mind on God. Let's don't get our mind on making money. Let's don't get our mind on building houses and getting land. And let's don't get our mind on going out there visiting with the relatives and having a big time, or laying up a little money, or having a little extra acreage, or a little extra this, or whatever we've got in our own natural mind. You know, I'm always saying that over and over, where the Bible said it's no time to plant vineyards and build houses. So then, when we think about these things, I say, let's don't do that. Let's keep our mind on God. Let's just think about Jesus all the time. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus in the morning. Think about Jesus at the noontime. Think about Jesus at night. Think about Jesus. Every thought, let it be about Jesus continually. Don't ever change. Just every thought, day and night, let it be about Jesus. Meditate in His laws day and night. Don't ever have time for anybody or anything, relatives or whatever. Just think about Jesus. And then the Bible tells us that all of these other things will be added unto us. He tells us here in the Word, he said, you've forsaken me, and I've appointed you to death, and I've appointed you to sword. That is, I'm going to give you up to the atomic powers, and I'm going to give you up to the famines, and I'm going to give you up to cancer, and I'm going to give you up to all of these things of the world, unto death and to the sword, all of these wars and tornadoes, everything. I'm going to give you up to that because you turned away from me. Now he said, you've done this, you've turned away from me, and because you've turned away from me, he said, I've turned away from you. He said, but I tell you, if you'll turn around,
If you'll turn around, he said, I'll still be merciful to you. If you'll turn around, if you'll leave up with those things and turn back in the direction of God, I'll still be merciful to you. America, if you can get back on your knees, if you can turn in God's direction, if you'll forget about all of the things of the natural, all of the things of the flesh, and turn around and follow me, I'll still bless you. I'll still heal your lands. I'll still give you food, and I'll still take care of your children. I'll stop them from being beatniks and devils and all these kind of things, freaks that they're turning into. I'll heal your land. I'll come back in the midst of you if you'll turn around and get your eyes on me. Like the song said, keep your eyes on Jesus and he will calm the troubled waters of your soul. See, turn around, come back to me. But he said, if you don't do it, he said, I'll pursue you till I cause you to perish from over the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, I'll tear you into pieces. I'll tear you into pieces because you forgot me. I'll tear you into pieces because you've forsaken me. I'll tear you into pieces because you didn't follow me according to the way that I set forth for you to follow. So then you see, God is great. God is merciful. God is kind. But it's like the song that they're supposed to sing on TV today. It's called Destruction. I can tell that destruction is getting closer all the time. All the time. See, we love to believe that everything's all right. We say, well, the wind's going to blow, but not strong enough to hurt me. I know there'll probably be a war, but it won't be close enough for me to be involved. My loved ones will be saved. But did you know somebody's involved in the war? Did you know that? There's some children somewhere that's getting their little legs cut off and blown off and getting all shot up and torn up. It happens every day. We say, well, the famine, God set upon them to the famine, but that doesn't affect me because I've got plenty to eat. But see, there's somebody somewhere that's going hungry. There's little children like I saw in the picture the other day. I was showing Betty with the little ribs protruding out. They're going hungry. Somebody somewhere is appointed to the famine. Somebody somewhere is appointed to the sword. And what are we doing about it? See, what are we doing about it? That's the thing that moves God. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, that's in another country. That's in another place. I know that. But what are we doing about it? If we're over here in this place and we've got plenty to eat and we're getting along fine, then God expects us to be the ones to do something about it. He don't expect them to do anything about it because they don't have anything to do anything with, but he expects us to do something about it. So then we need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to talk to God, and we need to tell people about these things and plead the cause of Christ and plead the cause of God, that plead the cause of the orphans and the widows. That's what God expects us to do. So then he says here, Moses, there's no need for you to pray. Samuel, there's no need for you to pray. Now these are passed off the scene at this time. But he's talking back to Jeremiah. This wouldn't do any good. I wouldn't hear that prayer even if they did pray. If they could pray if they were here. I wouldn't hear that prayer. Now he's telling Jeremiah, you can weep. You can pray. You can intercede. You can do all you want to. But son, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. You can moan for Jerusalem, you can fast until your backbone touches your stomach, so to speak. But I'm still not going to listen to you. But I want you to know it isn't because I don't respect you, Jeremiah. It isn't because I don't love you. If it asked me something else, I'd do it. But if Moses stood before me, I wouldn't change my mind. And if Samuel stood before me, it wouldn't make any difference to me. I love you, I would hear you, but I'll not hear you for these people. These people have been contrary to me. Think about that now. Jeremiah, here he is, Jeremiah with all of his lamentations, the weeping prophet, all of these things. And here Jeremiah saying, oh God, have mercy on Israel. Oh God, day and night he's crying and weeping and pleading and begging God to have mercy on Israel. But God saying, no, Jeremiah, no, I'm not going to do it. Like when he told Samuel about Saul, he said, Samuel, get up off of your face. I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. I went far enough with him. I'm not going to hear you. And see, that's sad when God gets to the place to where he won't hear us. When we get so big and so mighty and so great and so important to ourselves that we're busy doing everything but God's working. And we figure, well, God, He thinks so much of me. You know, we look in the mirror and we think, well, now we look pretty nice. And God, He thinks so much of me because I'm brother such and such and sister such and such. I'm the banker. I'm this. I've got prestige. I know this. I'm an intelligent man. God thinks enough of me. He understands if I have to frolic a little bit and go here and spend my time in and out, this and that and the other, and not having time for God. But let me tell you something, folks. God is no respect to person. It doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't care. That's what we've got to come to. Realize that God doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It's just like John Wayne laying over here in the hospital right now. And they're having to cut his guts out. Why? Because God is no respecter person. He might be the great John Wayne to them up there. But to God, he's nothing. He's nothing unless he turns to Christ. They tell me that when he came back from a tour or something, that out there he lives on the coast out there, and they said that I forget how many ships, one right after another, passed by out there. So the people just waved to John Wayne or see John Wayne or whatever in the return. But to God, he don't mean nothing. He don't mean nothing. That's right. He's just about to die. Found out the cancer spread throughout his body. All of his greatness. Where is his greatness now? Folks, God doesn't care anything about anybody except he see Christ in their life. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wants to see Christ in your life and in my life. And if he can see God in my life, I promise you that God will love you and God will be with you and God will bless you and God will take care of you and add to you everything that your heart could wish for. But Christ has to be in your life for God to do that. When we get to the place to where we are willing to follow Jesus, obey Jesus, regardless of the cause, regardless to our own hurt. And when we get away from the frivolous, beggarly elements of this world, that's what Paul called them, the beggarly elements of this world. When we get away from the beggarly elements of this world, then we enter into his rest. We find that relaxation. Now, wouldn't you like to enter into a rest? Some of you are just tossed to and fro, worried all the time. You've got oppression all the time, things talking to you all the time. You can't get free of the harassment of your own thinking, pressured by this and pressured by that. But wouldn't you like to enter into a rest with God? Have God just to draw you up real close and put you into a rest to where everything would just calm down. You feel so good, feel so relaxed and feel so good, and just feel the glory of God around you. And you just relax and everything's so peaceful, so quiet. Say, oh, hallelujah. 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 What will do that? It's when you come into a place of faith with Christ. When you enter into faith with God. You enter into faith with God. You've got to nourish his heart. You've got to cherish the words of God. You've got to keep on talking with Christ. You've got to keep on fellowshipping God. Until after a while, faith will come up in your heart. And when that faith comes up, it'll just... everything will become peaceful and faith will take over and you'll be so confident that this is going to be all right and that's going to be all right and that God's your friend and that you're united together with God till you just go into a complete relaxed condition. Nobody can't trouble you. David said, my heart is fixed in God. No evil tidings is going to trouble me. So then you just get into that relaxed condition with God. You know, you get in there and you just feel so relaxed. And maybe the devil will bring this thought or that thought, but it doesn't disturb you because you're so sure God is going to take your part. So you just relax. You take it for granted. Everything will be all right. Confidence and faith. How do we get in that place? The Bible said we have this confidence with God because we do the things that please God. Brothers and sisters, if you don't do the things that please God, you're not going to have that kind of faith. That's why the Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That is, do something. Do something so God can add this kind of faith unto you. Do something. Get in there with God and do something. You'll find the blessings of God just rolling over your soul, and you'll find you're getting greater and greater in Christ. But if you don't, God said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, I won't hear a prayer. Brother Pike, you can pray. Brother Taylor, you can pray. Brother Branham could have prayed when he was here, but I'll not hear the prayers of those that pray when my people won't do what I tell them to do. I'm not going to hear. You can pray all you want to. Now, mother said, we're just a praying and God won't hear our prayer. Israel said, God, we fasted and you don't listen to our fasting. We pray, you don't listen to our praying. Everything we do, you just turn a deaf ear or a deaf mind toward it. You won't hear it. You won't acknowledge it. God, what's the matter? He said, I won't do it because thine iniquities have separated between you and me. There's a wall of iniquity. No need to pray to me and then go out here and watch the evil things on TV. There ain't no need to pray to me and ride down the road listening to the whirling this rock and roll on your radios. There isn't any need to pray and fast to me, God said. If you're going to get out here and gossip and backbite and turn down your brother and sister and keep something going all the time in your home. You know, between you and your husband, between your brothers and sisters, and between different ones causing divisions, keep a rollover all the time. There's no need to pray to me. He said, I'm not going to hear prayer like that. Now, there's no need to pray to me when you let the hungry continue to go hungry. The naked continue to go without clothing. You let them continue that way. There's no need to pray to me, God said. When you know that I've commanded you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and plead the cause of the orphans and the widows to appropriate means by whatever source God might provide to reach the world for Christ, and you don't do it, I'm not going to hear you when you pray. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to hear you when you spend all your time just buying houses and lands and homes and cars and getting a little more money in the bank or laying up something to be comfortable. I'm not going to hear you, God said. I'm not going to hear you when you're so interested in having something for convenience and other people going like it. I'm not going to hear you. No need to pray to me. There's no need to say you love God. There's no need to say that you belong to Christ. You don't belong to me. I'm not going to hear you when you practice evil between one another, covetousness between one another, and lust after one another, and find fault with one another. I'm not going to hear you, God said. All right, somebody would say, well, I believe God will hear me. Well, I believe God won't hear you. The Bible said God won't hear you, God won't hear you. Brother, when God says something, it's not a wishy-washy, double-minded, come-and-go sort of a thing. When God says it, it's just like that. If God says He won't hear you, He won't hear you. It doesn't matter who you are or what you think you are. God isn't going to hear you. All right, though Samuel stood before me, I'm not going to hear him. Though Moses stood before me, I'm not going to hear him. And Jeremiah, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to hear anybody else. I've appointed some to go to the sword. I've appointed some to go to the famine. And I've appointed some to go to death. And I've appointed some to go into captivity. And they're going their preordained way of life. According to the predestinated way that I've set out there before them, they're going to go into it because I'm not going to hear any prayer. And you can believe me, though I know that some of you don't believe me, yet you can believe me this morning if you want to or not, but America is going to go to hell. America is on her way to hell as a whole. The people of America are on their way to hell. And the people of the world as a whole are on their way to hell. I don't care if they're charismatic or Baptist or Pentecostal or UPC or whatever they are. They're on their way to hell because their iniquities have separated between them and God. They played church and they've took indoctrinations and they've tried to indoctrinate people that we believe this. Now, we're Baptist and we believe it this way and we're UPC and we believe it this way and we're Pentecostal and we believe it this way and we're holiness and we believe it this way and we're charismatic and we believe it this way and we're Catholic, Presbyterian, on and on and on. Brethren, let me tell you something. The Bible said whatever you believe will be a practice in your life. Whatever you're doing, that's what you are. That's what kind of believer you are. If you're following rock and roll, then you believe in rock and roll. If you're following your belly meal after meal, then you believe in your belly. If you're following the dollar out yonder trying to make money, you believe in that. If you're following your face in a mirror all the time and your physique and you've got to jog this and jog a little bit here and muscle up a little bit here and primp a little bit here, then you're following your face. But when you follow God, Paul said, equip yourselves with the mind to suffer. Follow suffering for Christ and give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which He calls our reasonable service. You know, there's something about thoughts. We just have to think what we want to think. It just makes us feel better. If somebody does us a little wrong, you know, we just have to spend a little time brooding over it, licking our wounds, and thinking over and over till we chop him all to pieces. And then when we thoroughly grind him up, then we feel better about it. That old devil satisfied, and then we say, I repent over that. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to live for you. You know, we've ground him up in our minds. You know, and we've just got to think a little bit of football up here and a little bit of baseball up here and a little bit of frolic on the beach up here. And we just got to think a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. And if we can't do that, we've just got to think a little bit of television. We've got to think a little bit about some filthy, dirty joke or a little bit of giggle, you know. And we feel better. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, see, we would just have to think about them kind of things. Why do we have to do that? When God tells us to cast down every thought, every imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Why is it we just have to think those thoughts? Why do we have to look at another man's wife and just think a few thoughts? You know, we just got to think a few thoughts. And the woman looking at somebody else's husband, she just got to think a few thoughts. Just got to get a little bit of something in there, you know. Makes her feel better. But I wouldn't do nothing like that, Lord. You've already done it. Just as dirty as you can be. Just as dirty as you can be. Lord, you know I don't mean any wrong. I've just got to have a little bit of operating capital. $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, $10,000 or something, you know, just to operate on. One day they'll be operating on you and the doctor will take every dime of it. Just watch and see. What you need to do is confess the truth. Face the issues of life. Get out there and say, my God, what kind of fool am I? If you required from a widow her last biscuit, her last bite, are you going to let me go through any such silly things as that? No, friend, he's not. No, Samuel stood before me, though Moses stood before me, I wouldn't hear prayer. I wouldn't hear prayer for people like this. I'm just not going to hear prayer for them. People who sit around like America and glutton all the time, and they're from one eating joint to another, just one after another. And I know it's enjoyable. I know it's enjoyable to eat. Solomon said it's the best thing you can get out of your labor. But when you're just a glutton, you don't never fast, you don't never take any time out for God, you don't never give nothing to God, every dollar's got to go into your belly or go into something for the flesh. Folks, that's a bad situation. Did you know that? When all of a man's labor, the Bible said, is for his belly, all of his labor is for his belly. He's got to build something, get something, buy something, have something for the convenience of his flesh. He's in bad shape. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. The Lord must be satisfied with what I'm saying. He's putting his approval on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now this is good. Hallelujah. Instead of starting, you know, and preach about a 15-minute popcorn service and everybody is so drab they can't hardly get out of here. I done preached about 45 minutes and they're still ready to go. Amen. To get our minds on God. I'm not going to take full advantage of that to keep you here. But I appreciate that kind of hunger, that kind of attitude. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. See, I just felt this morning like you need a little exhortation. We need to get up and do something for God. Let's get up from where we're at and get to where we're going, folks. Let's love Jesus. Let's put him first. God will give you a house. God will give you a car. God will give you land. God will give you everything that you want. But remember, love not the world. Don't love it. Don't love it. Don't care for it. Don't love it. Don't lean on the arm of flesh. Don't love the things of this life. You say, Brother Pike, don't you think that I ought to love my wife and to love my baby? I think you ought to love God and that'll take care of your wife and baby. Come on now. I said, if I love God enough, that'll take care of my wife and baby. If I've got the love of God in my heart, that'll make room for my wife and baby. I need to love God. That'll take care of the whole situation and quit trying to figure out what I ought to love and what I ought not to love. Ain't but one thing I ought to love, that's Jesus. And that'll take care of all the rest of it. All right, so like the woman said, Mama never did tell me about Satan, but we're all the dear children of God, whether we're good and bad. Good or bad. No, that ain't true.
That ain't true, brethren. We're either going to be good or we're going to be bad. Now, I'm just getting started. I could really go on this morning. But whether good or bad, we're not all God's children. We're not. Some of us are God's children and some of us are not God's children. If we do the will of God, then we're God's children. You can't call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. That is by my Spirit. How could I ever say that Sam Pike was my dad except by his Spirit? Could I? Well, I can't say that Christ is my Father except I have His Spirit on the inside of me. No man can call me God except by the Holy Ghost. So then I have His life. I'm born of Him. I am made of Him. I'm born of His bone and flesh of His flesh. He's my Father. I'm His Son. And my delight is to do His bidding and to please Him. All right, let's stand together if you will. I want to apologize again for being late. I'm really sorry. I'm always sorrowful, very sorrowful for not being at church on time. But there's been times when I definitely felt like that I wasn't supposed to be there. That the Lord had me doing something, that He'd say everything is all right there. Maybe I'd be talking to somebody and He'd say, "Son," I'd say, "Well, Lord, I've got to get to church." He'd say, "The good shepherd leaves the 99 that's saved and he goes and looks for the stray." He said, "Them are safe. They've got people there. You've appointed people over them. They've got a church. They've got a place to worship. They know their way around through the life with God." He'd say, "This one don't know nothing. You need to tell him something." And that don't mean that every time somebody comes around your house that gives you an excuse to stay out and drink coffee and sit around and talk because they come up at the last minute, you know, and you're leaving the 99 to go look for the stray. It might do you good sometime to stop and think that you're not the shepherd and you're just another sheep out there and both of you just drinking coffee together. All right, so it's wonderful to be a Christian. If you really are doing something for God, then Jesus understands. But if you get to riding that thing for a hobby horse, you'll get in trouble. We had some of them down here at the campground for a while. They just got to riding it for a hobby horse. And let's do something for Jesus. Let's get together and do something for God. I want to do something for God. My dear God, help me. It burns in my soul like a furnace. I want to do something for Jesus. We're just passing this way one time. We won't be coming back in this direction. See, yesterday, what did you do with your time yesterday? What did you do with it? You won't be going back into yesterday no more. That's the last time you ever go that direction. That's the last time you'll never again go back to yesterday. And what about the day before? You say, "Well, Brother Pike, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this today." But see, that won't suffice for yesterday. What did you do with yesterday? What did you do with the day before? What did you do with your strength? He said, "Love Him with all your strength." Was all of your labor to try to win a soul, was that for God? Was all of your endeavor, all of your desire, all of your ambition for one thing, and that is for your Lord, to make ready to meet your Lord at His coming? Well, look at what we're going to lose if we don't be ready. Look at what we're going to gain if we are ready. Heaven and eternity and eternal riches and splendor and glory and magnificence and everything that heart could wish for. We're going to gain that. Look at somebody that come, say, "The Lord come." Maybe they don't have any money. Maybe they don't have a home. Maybe they don't have anything. But my brother, just think, within a few minutes after Jesus comes, maybe you've got everything. Maybe you're the local banker. Maybe you've got everything in this world. But just think what's going to happen to you a few minutes after Jesus comes. And look how the entire picture is going to change around. And all your prestige, all your money, all your labor, all your effort be gone, burned up. You hear the little fella don't have nothing. All of a sudden, there he'll be. Like the vision I had not too long ago, I saw the people in the long dresses. I saw the women. I saw the men dressed holy. And I saw them standing over here, and I saw the great empires of the world begin to crumble. I saw the houses. I saw people giving up their fabulous homes, giving them up, wanting to get rid of them, and they kept trying to get to them, that little group of people that didn't have anything, that was standing over there, that didn't have anything but was holy people.
And I was made to know that God had accepted those people, few people, just a few of them, and that the others had been rejected. And I was made to know that those people that had those big, fabulous homes, rich, wealthy people, envied this little group of people so much that all of their eyes was turned in that direction. And it makes me think about Bethlehem with all the publications and publicity and everything, you know. It's a little group of people that I believe is getting on the minds of folks. Praise God. Now we're thankful to be here this morning, grateful that you would come out in the wind and in the cold. And I would say that's the least that we can do for Jesus. Grateful to see Brother Toby. I see Toby back there. We appreciate Toby being here with us so much. And I thought I saw Gary back in the back, but I can't tell. Don't know who that is. It looks a little like Gary. But appreciate having visitors, young folks, and Billy. Is it Billy? Okay, we're glad to have Billy back there. Appreciate him coming and being with us. A lot of times, I can't recognize you too well. You know, we're living in a changing day. People change so much from one time to another till I can't even tell sometimes whether it's a man or a woman. And I have to just stop and think a little bit to even know, you know, to keep from being embarrassed. I know me and my wife, we had a dispute over whether it was a man or a woman driving a car down the street. And we never did know which one it was. I wondered, I said, God, why is all these men beginning to let beard grow out? And the Lord said, so I can tell, you can tell one from another. I said, that's the only thing I can do. So I appreciate the Lord, you know, if they're going to wear long hair, giving them a beard to where you can tell who they are. But I thank the Lord, you know, I praise God. I'm not mocking because a beard's a beard. People who've been trained to wear beards, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I still think long hair is wrong. A full head of hair, I think, look real nice. But long hair, I think is wrong. But I do love to be able to tell the man from the woman because it gets embarrassing. All right, let's just bow our heads just for a moment and let's pray and then we'll sing a little chorus together. Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, Lord, we're thankful for these people who have so humbly, submissively listen to the lovely word of Jesus. And dear God, that is trying their very best to overcome their feelings and their desires, their carnal reasoning, Lord, and their strong, impulsive ways of life. Make them this morning yours, Father. May we be coherent, Lord, to the great God of heaven, all in a great unit for Thee, Heavenly Father, that we might do something for our Lord and Savior. Father, in Jesus' name, be with us and help us. Heal the people. Oh God, forgive the people. Deliver them from sins. Lord, as they turn in the direction of Christ Jesus, Father, bless them. Heal their bodies. If there is sickness in their body, I beg of you, Father, in Jesus' name, heal that person. May they not have to live in misery and sit in misery and be in misery. But, oh God, may they have peace and may they have rest. Only you, Father, can understand sufferings and miseries of life. And, Father, we've been made to be partakers that we might feel the infirmities of others and care and be concerned. So heal and forgive, oh Lord, and provide for them that are cold and them that are hungry, oh Lord, and move the pangs of hunger and the bitter sting of the cold. Jesus, be with them. Lift the weather. Give us the right kind of weather. And help us in the lovely name of Jesus. Let us burn like a bright, brilliant lamp, Lord, in this generation with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. I understand that it's supposed to snow this evening. They reported snow, I believe, this evening and tonight. Don't know whether it'll come or not, but they reported it anyway. Sometimes it's hard to believe the reports of the weatherman. It's getting where it's about as hard to believe the report of the preacher. Let's sing a little chorus together. The song, I really like this song. Without him, we could do nothing. Can we sing that song together? Can you sing that with me? I want you to pray now that God will
bless us and guide us. People are asking us to come to different places. And we're writing them letters, putting them off. And some of them are determined they're not going to be put off. They've wrote us. We got a letter the other day from Jamaica. And a brother had written us and asked us to come over, and we'd put them off. And so this time he didn't send me an invitation. He said, "Brother Pike, we're having a convention. Your name will be published as one of the speakers to be there. We'll be looking for you." So it sounds like they're getting impatient. But pray for me, and the Lord will help me that we can do something for them. Let's sing this little chorus together. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear Him today? Oh, don't turn Him my way. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. Sing it one more time. For without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Don't you love Jesus this morning? Without Jesus, how lost I would be. Without Jesus, what desire would I have to live in this world? I'm honest. What desire would I have? You say, "Well, we could go and have a great dinner, Brother Pike." But I've eaten dinner after dinner after dinner after dinner. I've done that till I want to do something else. And you say, "Well, we could go riding and we could go down by the beach and go through the mountains." I've done that and done that. I might say, "Well, we could catch a plane and we could go way up in the air." And I've done that and done that and done that. You know, and we talk about all the things we could do. We could just spend money, and I've done that and done that and done that. And Solomon said, all is vanity. All of that. It's just nothing to it. It's like I said the other day, it's that death march. You're in it. You're in it. And all it'll ever get you is a coffin. But folks, let's do something for Jesus. Oh, I just love to serve God. I love to do something for God. I love to think about Jesus. That's the only thing that's exciting. I know you young people, real young folks, you've got a life to live. I know that. And you've got to spend, and you've got to eat, and you've got to drink, and you've got to see all these things, and buy all these things, and do all these things, and get all this education, and everything else, so that down at the end of the road, you can say, "My Lord, what a waste of time." But you've got your life to live. But the Bible said, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Think about it. You could do a lot better. God will add all those things, and still give you eternal life. And then you'll really enjoy what you do. I thought, Lord, how much do we really care about our loved ones? You know, we say we've got to visit mother, and we've got to visit daddy, and we've got to visit sister. But I watch this in my own life as me and my wife visit our loved ones. So little. A lot of time is said about Jesus during the whole visitation because we're so afraid we'll interrupt their way of life, you know, interrupt what they're doing, and we might cause them to think less of us. That's foolishness, folks. People are on the brinks of eternity. They're going to be lost.
that soul that you're talking to, whether your sister, friend, neighbor, enemy, or what, is in a little while going to drop down into the flames of a burning pit without ever a chance to get out of it. Are we going to just sit back knowing that's our mother, our daddy, our loved ones? And because we're afraid that we're going to cross them or hurt their feelings, that we're not going to say anything, or that we're afraid they may not come to visit with us anymore if we don't let them sit around and suck on cigarettes and watch TV and everything in our home and whatever. I don't see it like that, do you? I don't see it like that. I believe we ought to tell them in a loving way, not to be mean, but say, look, don't smoke in my home. I think so much of you. You're my dad. You're my mother. Even mothers do it. You're my sister. But don't come into my home like that, dressed like that, in your mini skirts and pantsuit and men like they're melted and poured into their clothing. And I just rather you wouldn't do it. You know, the way the usual trend is today, the hair hanging down the back and their shirt open, slapped down below their navel, and it's awful. Say something. Don't let them come in there and nip and drink and take dope and hug around on your family. Be a man. Stand up. Don't hurt them. Don't try to hurt them. They need help. But stand up. Tell them about Jesus. Don't sit there and spend the whole day talking about cake and cookies and land and ball games to keep from hurting their feelings. When they start talking about the football game, I hate to think this, folks, but some of you join right in with them. You join right in with the football teams and the talk about this and that and the other. Don't do that. Convert that conversation. Get it out of the garbage can and get it over to Jesus. Start talking about, the Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, things that are eternal. Place your hopes on things eternal. Think about virtue, holiness, something godly, something lovely, something pure, and help those poor people. Naturally, they're going to talk about it. I don't mean this sacrilegious, but a pig is going to eat out of the trough. That's all he knows. That's what his mind calls for. Naturally, they're going to do it. But it's up to you to gradually penetrate that wall of resistance and convert little by little until they're thinking just a little bit in your direction. And after a while, the light will seep through. And then the first news you know, they'll be talking about Jesus more than you. I've seen them converted over when they had no time for God. But I've seen them converted over. And after a while, even the people that had let them by all them years was so ashamed. Because they'd come back and they said, man, why didn't you tell me about this? I've heard them say that. They said, why didn't you tell me about this? All these years I come around you and I sit around and I talk to you about all them things. And you just let me by with it. And they were so ashamed. All right. I want you to bow your heads once again for a closing prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Dwight, if you will, to come and dismiss us in prayer. Now, great things is taking place. There's no need of me telling some of you that, because you'll never understand great things in God. To some of you, today is just like yesterday. You haven't seen anything. It's not exciting. You don't know what it is. But, oh, dear friend, if you could see. Great and mighty things, thrilling, exciting things, beyond the wildest dream is taking place. It is so wonderful.